WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Superman returns today, although he's never really been away. There have been two popular TV series devoted to his exploits, Lois and Clark and Smallville, and the Superman comics are still around, but his last big screen adventure was 20 years ago. The new feature is directed by Bryan Singer, who made The Usual Suspects and X-Men, and it features newcomer Brandon Routh as Superman and Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor. David Edelstein has a review.
Ever since Tim Burton's Batman, filmmakers have moved beyond the clean-cut, all-American aspects of comic book superheroes to explore their freaky alienation, asking, what is it about these outlandish characters that connects with our ordinary fears and longings? If nothing else, this trend allows directors like Burton, Christopher Nolan, and even Ang Lee to make movies for the teenage male demographic without losing their self-respect. In the first two X-Men movies, Bryan Singer made genetic mutancy a thinly veiled metaphor for homosexuality, and he must have seemed the perfect choice to give Superman a new depth and urgency. But in Superman Returns, he goes so far in the direction of seriousness that he loses the material's pop pulse. Before the credits, we learn that Superman has been absent from Earth for 5 years in a vain search for survivors from his exploded home planet Krypton. Then Marlon Brando appears as Superman's father, Jor-El, in footage from the 1978 original, reminding us of the grotesque waste of talent in the actor's final 25 years. The John Williams theme and the familiar flying credits signal the series won't be starting over, so no matter how good the new guy is, we'll feel the loss of Christopher Reeve. As it turns out, the new guy, Brandon Routh, isn't very good at all, and when he is, it's because he's channeling Reeve's dithering as Clark Kent and sheepish little grin at his own prowess as the Man of Steel. In the first scene, an elderly woman expires after leaving her fortune to arch-villain Lex Luthor, and she's played by Noel Neal, the marvelous Lois Lane from the 50s TV show. Is this a comeback or a funeral? In Superman Returns, Lois Lane, played by Kate Bosworth, has just won a Pulitzer for an editorial called Why the World Doesn't Need Superman, an obvious expression of rage at her own abandonment. I had a brief hope the movie would turn into a sort of comedy of remarriage, Superman and Lois in His Girl Friday. But there's no chance with Bosworth. She isn't a bad actress, but she's motorless, with guileless little eyes, and the hotshot investigative reporter Lois is now an overprotective single mom with a frail boy and an earnest fiancé. Listen to the painfully sincere dialogue in her first meeting alone with Superman on the roof of the Daily Planet.
Let's start with the big question. Where'd you go?
To Krypton.
But you told me it was destroyed. Ages ago.
It was. But when astronomers thought they found it, I had to see for myself.
Well, you're back. And everyone seems to be pretty happy about it.
Not everyone. I read the article, Lois.
Yeah, so did a lot of people. Tomorrow night, they give me the Pulitzer.
Why did you write it?
Leave us like that. I moved on. So did the rest of us. That's why I wrote it. The world doesn't need a savior. And neither do I.
There are exciting scenes in Superman Returns, like the Man of Steel running faster, as the catchphrase goes, than a speeding bullet. And there's a sequence in which he rescues a plane that should be every bit as thrilling as the one in Spider-Man 2, where Spidey stops a speeding subway car. But even the movie's superheroics have a pall over them. They're like stopgap measures in a world slipping grimly into the abyss. Instead of accelerating, the film gets heavier. Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor mutilates Superman with sadistic relish. The sequence is so brutal and ugly that Luthor's jokey comeuppance feels monstrously inadequate. But by then, the audience has moved ahead of Singer. Scenes that a director with some comic book snap would have compressed into 15 seconds drag on for minutes, and the lugubrious martyrdom climax would make Wagner check his watch. It's not that the movie is 2.5 hours, it's that it feels like 2.5 hours. Superman Returns does have grace notes. The special effects are often gorgeous, and I love the moment when Clark uses his X-ray vision to watch Lois lift lyrically off in an elevator. As Luther's mole, Parker Posey has a few tart lines, and there's a great scene where Lois and her son overcome a thug with the aid of a grand piano. But even here, Singer lingers too long. The director carries over his X-Men motif, the melancholy of the terminal outsider, in a way that feels bizarrely wrong for Superman. Superman Returns isn't terrible, but it sinks under the weight of its seriousness. It's the first Superman movie that makes being able to fly seem like a curse.
David Edelstein is the film critic for New York Magazine. Earlier this month, I spoke with the Dixie Chicks. As you probably know, there was a great deal of controversy surrounding the group following a critical comment about President Bush made by lead singer Natalie Maines just before the invasion of Iraq. Much of their country music audience was furious with them, and a lot of country stations stopped playing their records. The band members even had to protect themselves against death threats. When I asked them about the boycotts and other repercussions of the controversy, one of the Dixie Chicks mentioned that they had offered to donate $1 million to the Red Cross, but the Red Cross turned them down with a thanks but no thanks reply. The Red Cross has asked us for the opportunity to clarify why they declined the offer of $1 million from the Dixie Chicks. The Red Cross prepared this statement. In 2003, following the controversy that erupted on a London stage, the Dixie Chicks approached the American Red Cross proposing a promotional partnership for their forthcoming summer tour. There was no offer of an unrestricted gift to support the life-saving mission of the Red Cross, as is customary with most donors. The proposed relationship would have called for the Red Cross to publicly embrace a talented group of entertainers during a widely publicized, politically motivated controversy. Since the American Red Cross, like other national Red Cross organizations around the world, must operate within the bounds of its founding principles of impartiality and neutrality, the controversy made it impermissible for the Red Cross to associate itself with the band. Should the Dixie Chicks decide to make an unconditional financial donation to the American Red Cross, we would gladly accept it and put it to work toward our life-saving mission. That's a statement from the American Red Cross.